It's 2:05 p.m. You are tuned in to AM 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. This is Around the Table, live from the City of Gastronomy, where each and every day we have the most interesting and influential newsmakers, lawmakers, style makers, taste makers, movers and shakers, foodies and friends gathered around our table. Each and every day we save the seat at the head of our table for you, our guest of honor, and we break bread together. That delicious Don Guerra Barrio bread, well, there's none better anywhere. So here's the thing. It's election day here in the Old Pueblo, and by the end of the day, we hope we'll have a new mayor. There is a lot of action and activity around this. This has been a very vigorous contest, and to give us a sense about what's going on and where we stand, well, we turn to our friend Kelly Fryer, former gubernatorial candidate. Kelly Fryer joins us now from the campaign trail, where she is out there, and it is still too close to call. Kelly Fryer, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Jennifer. How are you doing today?
I'm kind of excited because we have 2/3 probability that we're going to have the first woman mayor of Tucson.
Well, I'm excited.
Is that the right way to say that?
I don't know if the percentages work out exactly that way, but I think we are facing whoever is elected today, not only to the mayor's office, but we've got, some interesting things happening with our city council as well.
Right.
Tucson has an opportunity this year to really, in some ways, we've got a new start. I mean, we're going to have a new mayor. We've got a new city council. We've got new leadership at Tucson Metro Chamber, at the Hispanic Chamber. It's an interesting time in Tucson. And I think that is why we've seen really such vigor around this election this year. I think people know change is coming, and everybody wants to have a say into what that looks like.
Talk to me about the uniqueness of this moment in time, because, in fact, it's August 27th. I don't recall voting in August before. I don't recall elections taking place this early. Can you explain to me what's actually happening today?
So today is the primary election for the mayor's race and city council races. And you're right. I bet a lot of people are like, wait, what is going on? We have an election in August. Well, the primary elections are always held in August. I think what makes this a little bit unique is that this year there is no primary election on the Republican side for the mayor's race. And so there is an independent candidate running, and I'm sure during the general election, he'll get his due. But it really looks like, in a lot of ways, and we can't take it for granted, but it looks like whoever wins the primary election on the Democratic side today for the mayor's race in Tucson has a very likely chance of being elected mayor in the general election in November. So I think that probably is a little confusing for people. We're not electing a mayor today. We're choosing the candidates who will represent their parties in the general election in November. There are 3 candidates running on the Democratic side for mayor of Tucson, and the one who comes out victorious today will most likely be elected mayor in November. But we're not quite there yet, and I think it's important for people to understand that. So thanks for asking that question.
What I want to make sure we also make clear is that your analysis of this is really quite keen, in part because we have historical context and perspective to tie this into. When's the last time we had a Republican mayor?
Oh, my gosh.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. I mean, it's not completely uncommon here in Tucson. I think folks have this idea about what the Tucson electorate looks like, but the GOP, the Republican Party in Tucson, has really struggled over these last years. And
let me ask a woman. I know this is,
and I'm excited personally about the opportunity of electing our first and possibly our first Latina mayor.
Well,
very exciting.
And I wanted to give you the chance to talk about, is there still a chance for people to vote, and is there still canvassing going on? If I don't have a ballot in my hands to mail in, and we should also tell people, this isn't one of those elections where you, like, go to the elementary school down the street, and that's where you're going to your polling place. There's a couple elements of this that are a little bit different. This is one of those where you have to get a ballot, correct?
That is correct. And you need to be registered as a Democrat in order to vote in the Democratic primary. There are, I believe, 7 polling places that are open today. A lot of folks, if you're registered to vote, you got a ballot in the mail. Don't send your ballot. If it's still sitting on your kitchen table, do not put it in the mail. It won't be counted. You have to actually take it to one of the 7 polling places around the city. And the Arizona Daily Star has posted those polling places, so you can go to their website, their Facebook page, and you can find where those polling places are. I'm sure each of the candidates also have that information posted on their websites and on their social media pages as well.
And part of the reason we're so grateful to you for coming on the show today and reminding us of these things are because there's just a little bit of, it's a little idiosyncratic how this election is taking place. You have to bring your ballot today. If you haven't already mailed it, you have to bring it in today. You can't mail
it
in today. And
that's right. Yeah.
And that is really, really important. If you want to get the list of places, we're going to look this up and we'll remind you throughout the rest of this hour. And I know the rest of the hosts are going to be talking about this through the end of the voting day. Kelly Fryer is our guest, and she was a gubernatorial candidate in the state of Arizona representing our community magnificently. And I will continue to and always be grateful to you for leading by example and showing up to make a difference and serving. Talk a little bit, if you will. I know you've been working for Regina Romero, and for people who are listening to this, I wanted to give you a chance to talk a little bit about why you think she's a really fantastic candidate.
Well, you know, I have known and worked with Regina for these last years. She has been such a strong advocate for small businesses in Tucson, not just on the west side and south side, but really across the city. And I think that she, I'm not sure she gets enough credit a lot of times for the work that she's done to really drive economic development here in Tucson in a way that benefits everybody.
Right.
I mean, she was a primary mover, a force in getting the streetcar into Tucson. She really, helped wrangle a city council that wasn't necessarily sure they liked this idea very much. She has really been a consensus builder on our city council, helping folks come together to support big economic development projects in the downtown area, but also across the city. And she really has just a kind of very humble way of presenting herself. And I she's very collaborative. She's very much about bringing people together. And I think she just hasn't gotten the credit that she deserves. But I have seen firsthand in my work here in Tucson the impact of what Regina has brought. And again, it's economic development that benefits everybody. She also is so committed to helping Tucson address and prepare for climate change. And I don't think we can underestimate how significant that issue is. I mean, as we are all melting in these high temperatures right now, really struggling with lack of water in this monsoon season, I don't think that we can underestimate how significant this is to the future of Tucson, you know, socially, culturally, economically. And Rahina's got realistic plans for helping us address those issues in Tucson. I like Randy Dorman a lot. I was really excited. I mean, in some ways, she reminded me a little bit of myself when she jumped into the race. And I think that both Rahina and Randy have run very positive, very, very issue-focused, hopeful campaigns. And I'd be excited about either of them, honestly. But I'm team Rahina. She's been on city council doing the work. I think she's ready for this job. I think people probably underestimate her, but she's ready, and I'm all in for her.
I have to ask the hard question, though, Kelly Fry. I have to ask the hard question, I'm a Rahina. I'm going to ask this, and I think it's important to consider. How can we afford to lose her from the city council? She's really a consensus builder. How will she continue to do that? Will she have the same clout? Will she have the same influence if she's mayor? Can she still help our city the same way?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, first of all, she has a vote, you know, as mayor. Secondly, as mayor, you really do get to set the tone. I mean, you get, you know, you're the first place the media is going to go to for a quote. You're standing up there giving the state of the city address every year. You're, you know, helping to set the agenda for the city. And I think that having a voice like Rahina's, which is experienced, collaborative, unifying, and really a voice for all the people of Tucson, I think that's exciting.
That's good to hear. Let's remind everybody that today is voting day for the Democratic primary. There are 7 locations, and you have until 7 p.m. today to drop off your ballot, including the Tucson City Clerk Election Center at 800 East 12th Street, the Parks and Recreation Administration Building on Randolph Park at 900 South Randolph Way, the William Clements Recreation Center at 8155 East Ponciana Drive, the Donna Liggins Recreation Center at 2160 North 6th Avenue, the Morris K. Udall Regional Center over on Tancaverde at 7200 East Tancaverde, the El Pueblo Senior Center at 101 West Irvington Road, and the Department of Housing and Community Development at 320 North Commerce Park Loop until 7 p.m. today. Kelly Fryer is our guest. Before we let you go, and I'm enormously grateful for your time today in explaining this and helping us grasp why this unusual election is really such a powerful and potent, important one. Can you, just before you go, talk about leadership and how this is an election that mirrors the growth of this city? You were talking about climate change. We just got news that Amazon is bringing 3,000 new jobs, and yet we're thinking about the fact that in the short term and long term, our viability needs some really strong leadership. Is the Tucson we are growing into, the one that we've become and are continuing to grow into, something that you can help explain to us, and what we need right now, and how this moment in time calls for a certain kind of leadership?
Well, you know, Tucson, I love Tucson. You know, I love the way it feels, you know, like a small town.
Right.
But, you know, and I think there's so many things about that, you know, that it just, the, you know, the kind of friendliness that you find here, the accessibility, how easy it is to, you know, to get around, to access different parts of the city, even to have access to, you know, the leaders, the kind of movers and shakers, you know. You know, we run into each other at, you know, our favorite watering hole and so on. There's so many good things. But I also think that, and I say this with just all kinds of love and respect, that I think that there's this idea that we're a small town when actually we are a good size and growing city.
Right.
And I think it's time for us to shake off some of the, you know, the kind of neighborhood squabbles and the kind of turf protection that has really hampered our ability to deal with the big issues that we have. You know, we're a small town with some big problems. Climate change is one of them. The poverty rate that continues to just kind of be so stubborn in this town. The fact that, you know, one out of four of our neighbors lives at or below the poverty line.
And we have kids with food insecurity. So many children live food insecure. So many neighbors live food insecure.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the real lack of economic opportunity for folks that are living in low income, lack of opportunity kinds of situations. And we need to deal with this. I have worked very close to the grassroots for the last number of years. And what I sense among so many of our neighbors is just deep, deep frustration and deep impatience and anger. And it's understandable. You know, the leadership of this town, which, let's be honest, it has been predominantly, you know, in the business community and so on, it has been predominantly white, upper class. And I think that we have been ignoring the frustration and the anger that people in our community feel at our own peril. And I think what we need in leadership right now is somebody like Rahina, who comes from within the community and has done organizing within the community, but also has experience in government, understands how government works, understands how to get things done, understands how to attract a business to this city. I think in some ways Rahina is exactly the kind of leader we need right now, because she can really, you know, I think she sees all of us, and I think that she has the ability to bring us together to begin really tackling these huge challenges that we face in Tucson. I think we're at a critical moment. Our friend Tim Steller our friends at the Arizona Daily Star have been hammering Rahina around the amount of contributions that have been made on her behalf, not to her, but on her behalf, by groups like CHISPA, it's an environmental group, Planned Parenthood, you know, which advocates for women's rights and so on. And I say, I think that these groups understand what's at stake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're living in the Trump era, you know, in a mean, kind of a mean, nasty era when the issues that we care about, the environment, poverty, economic, equitable economic development, racism, care of our neighbors, including our immigrant neighbors, these things are so controversial and so difficult. And here in Tucson, we have an opportunity to set a different course. And I think that's why so many people are interested in this election and really going to bat for their candidates.
Kelly Fryer, thank you so much. I am so grateful for you coming in and putting this in perspective. And, you know, the thing that strikes me about Rahina's campaign and the way that you're contextualizing it is it's not just enough that she can get everybody to come to the table. She'll know what to do and serve to make things happen is what I hear you saying once we all get there.
That's right. Well, Jennifer, I could do this all day long. I appreciate the opportunity to share my thoughts with you, and I love Tucson, and it's going to be a different day tomorrow, no matter what happens today.
Thank you very much. And you know what? You're welcome anytime. You are brilliant at this. And in fact, you can do this all day. I would love to have you come back again soon. But thanks for explaining this for us and putting it all in perspective. Reminding everybody, today is Election Day. Please go out and vote. Kelly Fryer can be found. Where's the website you want to send everybody to?
Oh, I want to send them to Regina Romero's website, of course, and to her social media pages. But I think, you know, the Arizona Daily Star has got some great information. And I appreciate that you are telling people on the air where the voting places are. Please continue to do that today until 7 o'clock tonight. I hope everybody gets out and votes.
Regina, I'm sure we'll be talking about this again soon in the days to come. But thank you so much. Kelly Fryer, I really appreciate you being here with us. We're going to take a very quick break. Up next, our friend Linda Ray, the comedy correspondent and contributor for the Tucson Weekly, telling us where the funny stuff is coming up. This is Around the Table live from the City of Gastronomy on AM 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back. 2:29 p.m. and Linda Ray is a fixture in Tucson's comedy community. She is the comedy correspondent in the Tucson Weekly. And each week she comes and tells us about this really rich, vibrant culture of comedy that exists in the Old Pueblo in ways that many people might not realize from her own work in the improv team she is a part of to the actual shows that she's had a hand in reviewing and covering. It is really an enormous, grateful opportunity that I have every week to talk to her about funny, because as everybody that knows me knows, the only thing I like better than eating is laughing. Linda Ray joins us now from, I'm going to imagine, some bourbon-soaked comedy hall.
Oh, I've been dancing around to your break music, but boy, I could listen to Kelly Fryer all day long.
Right? I know.
I love her view of the world. It's always 30,000 feet, you know. Here's where we are in the big picture. It must be hard to live like that, but I'm glad somebody does. Yeah. So the election today.
Is there anything funny about this election? Is there anything funny about politics? It seems so bleak.
No, absolutely not. No. So here's what I recommend. The thing about politics is, what is it for? It's to keep us on a path, to keep us in community. It's funky. It doesn't always work that way, but you know it works that way, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You got food and you got comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking tomorrow we all need to get together for just like a big family kind of party and hang out, and everybody can have their say and make comedy. So let's all go to the screening room for the open mic, because it's a great Tucson story how that came about. It's a 190-seat theater, the screening room downtown, as you probably know. And there's been a group called the Strata Company that's been trying to fill it with good things for Tucson. They have a philosophy that I just love, and I think you love it too. They're all about democratizing the arts.
Wow.
Think about that, right? We think about the arts as being up in the sky, you know, like you think about comedy as who's at the Fox. You know, who's at the Rialto, who's the big ticket. And the unique thing, as we've talked about Tucson comedy, is it's very grassroots. It's like the music here in the 80s was actually a national leader in punk rock, because it was creative. We're stuck here in the desert. We have to make our own thing. And Tucson artists rise to the occasion. Artists move here because of that. But in any case, so what happens is we have comedy all over town. Now, there's this company called Strata Company, which is like a foundation, and it supports grassroots arts things like the Fringe Festival, like different art projects. Last month, they had a performance of what's called The Rond. It's a very famous old play, but they gave each of the 10 scenes a different director to take in a completely different direction. It's really creative stuff, and it gives like 10 directors in Tucson a place for their work. Who knew we had 10 directors?
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Right. So, and now we have 100 maybe comics. We had, like, just even a year ago, we had 45 or 50 that would show up for one open mic a week. Now we have open mics almost every single night of the week in Tucson. And one of the biggest is coming up tomorrow night. It's every week on Wednesday at the screening room. And it was started by the Strata Company. It's being continued by a local producer. And every week it's attracting more people. Usually there are 20 or so comics. And the best news is they just scored with the city of Tucson an opportunity to do a comedy night at the Screening Room on Second Saturday, starting in November.
So help me wrap my brain around everything you just said. Where am I going to go, and when am I going to go there?
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I can't keep it short. Okay, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, you want to be at the Screening Room.
Which is located where?
It's on Congress Street. It's across the street from the old Chicago Music. You want me to give you an address, don't you?
No, that's okay, because it's right next to...
Everybody have Siri.
No, I know.
Right next to Empire Pizza, yeah.
Right, and I want to remind everybody that the one website that we always send people to, in addition to Tucson Weekly, is...
Tucsoncomedy.com.
I love you.
Yeah, I know. You know, well, it takes me a while. I'm old, you know. So, Tucsoncomedy.com. Everybody needs to go there because you may not want to go to the Screening Room tomorrow. You might want to go to another comedy show. Every week in Tucson, there could be as many as 20 comedy shows, and the only place to find them is Tucsoncomedy.com. I do as many as I can in the weekly, which comes out on Thursday at your nearby place that has the weekly. And I'll be talking about the background of the Strata Company and this Wednesday comedy show in this week's column. But tomorrow, if you want to, like, laugh in community with friends and neighbors and forget any conflict you had in your mind or with friends about politics, this is the way to do it. Even the Mayo Clinic says it.
Okay, but here's the thing I want to know. Is the kind of thing that's going on in Tucson, where we go from one comedy club to comedy everywhere, the same thing that's happening around the country?
No. No, and I'll tell you why. You go to Phoenix, and there are six comedy clubs. Now, grant you, you know, it's like three or four times our size, but still, they're located all around town. Here we just have the one, and it's very central. You know, Last Comedy Cafe has been there for 40 years on Broadway. I think it was 2900 East Broadway. But we're trying to get comedy out to the neighborhoods. We're all about comedy for the people.
Comedy, you know, for the people. I love that as a tagline. And that's TucsonComedy.com. Linda Ray is our comedy correspondent. She joins us every week with a look at what is coming up this weekend that's going to be fun and funny, where we can go to laugh, and where we can go to laugh with other people. We'll laugh with people, not at them.
Let me say one other thing, because your listeners are going to love it. This is the week we have comedy at Tony's Deli on Saturday night. $15 includes an Italian buffet at Tony's.
Wait. What?
Tony's Deli. Tony's Italian Deli on East Broadway. You get an Italian buffet. Last time it was packed because Chad Lehrman, who you know does Tucson Foodie, wrote it up in his newsletter. But you go eat Italian, you sit outside under a big tent, and you watch comedy. And that's a family for you right there.
And that's on Saturday night.
That's on Saturday night.
That's awesome. All right, Linda Ray, thank you so much. We're going to take a very quick break. And we come back, we are going to take you to Sonoran Restaurant Week. It is right around the corner. This weekend, we're going to hit September 1. And right after that, we're going to celebrate the extraordinary cuisine that is the region of Sonora. Did you know that's where we are? And that's why it's called Sonoran Restaurant Week? Yeah, we'll be back with Laura Reese right after this. You are listening to Around the Table, live from the City of Gastronomy, AM 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. We'll be back with more right after this. 2:39 p.m. and we are here live around the table in the City of Gastronomy on AM 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk for 10 days. 10 delicious days and nights coming up very, very soon. We will be celebrating the Sonoran Restaurant Week. To talk about it is the founder of Sonoran Restaurant Week, Laura Reese. She joins us now from the menu printing station, where I imagine she's very, very busy. Laura, how are you?
I'm good. Hi, Jennifer. How are you doing?
Awesome. So listen, from September 6th through the September 15th, 10 delicious days of dining. It's Sonoran Restaurant Week. How did this come about?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Yeah, this came about. We were talking with Visit Tucson, and we said, hey, Southern Arizona, Tucson does not have its own dedicated Restaurant Week. Let's change that. Let's make it happen. We've got so many amazing and unique restaurants here that celebrate all of what we are here in the Southern Arizona region. And why don't we do a restaurant week to celebrate what we do best?
One of the things everybody's going to say, what is Sonoran Restaurant Week versus Tucson Restaurant Week? How did that distinction get made?
We wanted to be able to include the whole region. So, yes, definitely it also includes Tucson. But outside of Tucson and, you know, whether it's Wilcox and wine, the Nogales region, like we've got so many amazing producers of food and ways to experience and explore food that are outside the city of Tucson borders that we wanted to be able to include that and grow it into our region here.
So talk a little bit about what's going to happen next week when we kick off the Sonoran Restaurant Week, because this is the first time it's been done, as I understand it.
Yep, first inaugural year. So we have 32 restaurants on board this year. All of those participating restaurants, you can actually check out and see who they are at SonoranRestaurantWeek.com. But all of those 32 restaurants are supplying special prefixed three-course menus at the restaurants those weeks for either special $25 or $35 pricing. Which is a total discount from what you can normally get at those restaurants.
And these are
some of the restaurants.
Yep.
Please, I'm sorry.
Go ahead and tell us, because just by we're talking about places that have a range of cuisine that represent where we are in time and place, culinarily speaking.
Absolutely. So everything from Maria at Boca Tacos, she's doing a special menu that you can't normally get at Boca Tacos. That is entirely a celebration of her hometown in Sonora, Mexico. Everything from there, you can go up to Flying V at Ventana Canyon. Chef Ken Harvey there has put together an incredible menu that really features a lot of their specialty items that are always on the menu. But I believe that you can get, I priced it out, if you actually order all three course items individually on the menu, it's like a $57 menu tab, but you can get it all for $35 during Sonoran Restaurant Week.
Thank you, Chef Ken. I've worked with Chef Ken Harvey at Lowe's for a long time. I've been a long friend of the house. And I have to tell you, it's really great to see him growing into his regional role in the Lowe's group. He's been recognized for his extraordinary talent, and for him to be doing this with us is amazing.
Oh, he's a complete pro. He's fantastic. So similarly, I mean, there's a lot of other restaurants. Hacienda del Sol, you can get, you can get the whole three-course menu for $35 there. So it's really a combination. It's a mixture of restaurants that are doing specialty items just for the week, or restaurants that are choosing items that are their bestsellers, favorites, their home run items that they want to be able to feature because it tells best what they do as a restaurant. And you can actually peruse those menus now at SonoranRestaurantWeek.com.
Oh, fun.
And start to plan out, oh my gosh, I have to try that dish at Sorrel Corners, or I've really got to check out Boca. And you can actually plan out your week now by looking at those menus on the website.
I want you to give us a sense about the things that you, as an insider, having read all these menus, because it might seem overwhelming to some of us that don't go out all the time, and myself included. I know a lot of these folks from over the years, but restaurants change and staff changes. What are some of the things you want to make sure we're thinking about? Are we looking for a taste of place, or is this just a specific moment in time? Where would you steer us to make sure what's been exciting that you've read about that you want to make sure we don't miss?
Oh my gosh, it's so hard to pick. There's so many great things that are happening. But this is one tip that I would suggest. Sonoran Restaurant Week is a great opportunity to support and be able to go back to some of your favorite spots as well as try new spots. So I would encourage you to pick one of your favorite places to go and be able to celebrate what that restaurant does well. And then look at the menu and pick a place that maybe you've never been before. This is a great opportunity to try something new.
Oh, fun. I like that idea. I like that idea a lot. So try one new place and try one favorite place.
Exactly. And I think, too, one thing that we're really trying to do with this experience is, well, one, we have a fantastic food festival culture here. We have a lot of incredible food festivals that really give a chance for the community to gather together in one place to celebrate what makes us delicious. But what Sonoran Restaurant Week does is it kind of takes it one step further. once you've had that food festival experience, you get perhaps a smaller sample of something on a plate where you get to have a bite-sized taste of what that restaurant is. Obviously, a restaurant and the experience of dining out is so much more than just a sample on a plate. It's the staff that greets you when you walk in the door. It's the way that the restaurant is decorated. It's the ambiance. It's the music. It's the energy that you feel coming from the kitchen when you're sitting in the dining room. So what Sonoran Restaurant Week is a chance to do is to see entirely plated items, actually get a real feel for the story of that restaurant by sitting inside and really experiencing it from a full level there.
And sort of making the full connection, not just getting
exactly.
it into your, you know, on your radar screen. You don't just want to
exactly.
know about it. You want to get to know it. And the way you get to
Absolutely.
Know it is through tasting it. And, you know, that's why a lot of chefs and restaurateurs will go and do those tasting events. I'll just pick one, but there are literally a dozen fantastic events, including things like Knife Fight. Including things
yeah,
like the Gastronomic
absolutely.
Union of Tucson Dinners or the event for the Boys and Girls Club. These are all terrific events. But if you
They're
really
amazing.
Want to get to know, you get turned on to some of these places, but you really want to
exactly.
make the connection by going back.
Exactly. And I mean, to me, too, the dining, it's the experience of being in the brick and mortar space. But it's also sitting with friends, it's laughing, it's connecting with the people that I know well. So, you know, grab a couple friends and go check out these restaurants with friends during Sonoran Restaurant
well,
Week.
Well, Laura, I hope you and I get to break bread next week for Sonoran Restaurant
Let's
Week. But
it.
You know my favorite word. You know my favorite restaurant word.
Conviviality.
I know.
Yes, I knew it.
Thank you for helping us shine a light on this beautiful, delicious place and giving us an opportunity to cultivate some conviviality together. Laura Reese,
awesome.
The website is
SonoranRestaurantWeek.com.
Thank you so much for making time to be with us. Up next, the one and only Sally Kane. She is a second-generation restaurateur in the Old Pueblo. And her beloved Coronet on 9th Street, just at 4th Avenue, was welcoming people with some of the greatest savoir-faire in town. But now the Coronet is the Libertine, and the Coronet has moved. And if you've been following the news, Sally Kane's dream moved to one of Tucson's all-time most historic and beloved locations, right in the heart of it all, to join us for a few minutes during restaurant's opening week, the Coronet's own Sally Kane. How are you, my friend?
I'm really well. What an incredible introduction, Jennifer. That was so lovely. Thank you.
You might be the only person I know who could take a beloved institution like the Coronet from a really stylish, fantastic location and find the next place and make it be everything and then some more. You are one of the few people I know who could do that. You have done magic. You saw an opportunity, and to tell everybody about it, I'm going to let you take the floor. What are you doing?
Oh, well, we've been doing a lot, and we're so excited. We the blessed is the only word I can think of, or grateful that we've had the opportunity to be able to go into that 160-year-old historic territorial adobe and just shower it with all the love we could find all around us and within us. And we're just beyond to be able to open it back up to the public. And we do so on Friday. And I'm exhausted, as you can tell. So I think the gift to my employees is I'm going to get 8 hours sleep tonight.
Okay.
But we're just beyond the moon. We've been working our tushies off front and back of the house to be able to bring to Tucson our vision for that space.
So let's just talk about the fact that you're moving to a location not too far from the convention center, but you are growing. It's going to be a little bit of a bigger restaurant. You got more of a kitchen now, and that
it's
means
so much bigger.
And you
yeah.
can, and this means you get to take the philosophy and the mission and the art of the Coronet and fully realize it in ways that you're only, it feels like maybe workshopping before. As brilliant as it was, now it's time to go to the equivalent of Broadway.
It's absolutely true. I mean, we're still the same. I mean, the vibe, even though it's a totally different space, I think when people walk in, they'll feel the vibe of our family and our family of spaces. And we, even though we have a much more expansive kitchen than, and mostly the utensils and space in the kitchen, I think the menu is going to be very welcome to anyone who has been a guest and a returning guest of the Coronet, to see that it is still very much so the Coronet.
For people who were not able to get to the original Coronet, maybe they're new to town, maybe they're freshmen, or maybe they're, I don't know, living under a rock. But let's just say people don't know the Coronet. What would you describe the Coronet dream as?
For me, it's the first and foremost is hospitality and ambiance and honesty. For me, it's real food on the plate, so I always consider our food to have classic sensibilities, to be very honestly presented. We've always had a love affair with international cuisine, which we maintain and let ourselves trip around the world, engaging with it and bringing it home. And it's about creating spaces and service that let the guest fully be present and enjoy where they're at. They shouldn't have to be looking for something. We should be doing our jobs and making sure all their needs are getting met, so they can sit back and really enjoy the time they're spending there with their friends and family.
So, Sally, I hear you describing this sense of anticipation of a guest's needs, which is one of the absolute hallmarks of true hospitality. And as somebody who grew up in the business, I want to have you talk a little bit about how you discovered and learned, literally from the masters, at what hospitality Tucson style looks and tastes like and feels like.
I don't know exactly what the wish is, but running service the way it used to be run back in the day. So my father had a 5-star, and when you're a 5-star, here in Tucson, the very, 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 very first thing that is utmost important is 5-star service. Now, that's pretty much unachievable today by anyone who isn't in, you know, a city in a restaurant that can command the kind of prices that kind of staff would need, because you need servers with multiple back servers or even one back server. It's that are dedicated teams. It's very, very hard these days to do that. But so to speak to that, what that meant was being at my father's restaurant as a child, you might think you wanted something. You're like, maybe I want a little more water. Maybe there should be another whole thing of butter. Or maybe if there was just extra sauce with this dish that it would just appear before the thought could finish, it would appear. I mean, I don't think anyone ever asked for anything at one of my dad's restaurants. Like, it just was there because there was, like, if you had a 5-cup, there'd be 5 servers. You know, it was how it was. That's impossible these days, but that level, trying to reach that with what we can do is the goal. It's making sure that as soon as someone steps into our home, that they are truly our guests from the moment they enter to the moment they leave. Even if they've paid the bill and are hanging out another hour drinking water, we are minding them from afar. We are bringing them what they might need, and we are available if they look up to come and to make sure that all of their needs are being met. We're trying to get them everything they need prior to their needing it, and just being conscious of that service, of those steps of service. If we do that in a respectful, quiet way, there should be a seamlessness of enjoyment for the guests. They shouldn't really be noticing. We're not chatting to them too much or interrupting them. We are there for them, and it should be about them and the food. And something I talk to my staff about all the time. It's something I watch for when I'm on the floor. I am so proud of our chef, Moody Albarassi. I am beyond excited for this menu to hit Tucson. And I really really the food should shine and the space should shine, and the staff should be there to facilitate it.
That is so awesome. How do you want this to make your guests
be everyone out there? Like, I'm just a rambling old mess right now.
No, I love it. I love it. I want to ask you, how do you want this to make your guests feel?
For me, it has a few different layers. One is well cared for. I think we all need to feel well cared for in our lives. And if we can get a moment of it in our day, that is a very priceless feeling to feel that you're taken care of. I also want them to, if it's possible, and I know you've heard me talk about this before, it's like to become present.
Right.
If we're doing our jobs, then when someone decides to go out for a meal and maybe have a wonderful glass of wine and some food, there's a chance that if we aren't doing our job, they're going to be looking for something and needing something. And if everything's delicious and all their needs are met, they can be present and engage with themselves or their company or the book they're reading,
right,
or whatever it is they're choosing to do that lets them just not be behind themselves or in front of themselves. So that's what I'm looking for.
Sally Kane, the restaurant is called Coronet, and as I recall,
yes,
the Hermanita, is that opening as well on Friday?
Oh, my God, I'm so excited. No. Fonda La Hermanita is opening in a month.
Okay.
We've postponed it slightly because our beloved Chef Moody is representing Tucson for the City of UNESCO in Turkey next week.
Yes.
We're so excited for him.
That's a huge deal, by the way. And we'll talk about that a little.
It's super, super cool. And I'm just beyond the moon for him. But I want to make sure that our other chef, Erica Bostic, who will be, guiding that beautiful little fonda, is available as support to our whole team. So we've just pushed the fonda a few weeks.
Okay.
And that's okay. Everyone's groovy and happy. We're all excited. Everything's exactly taking place when it should. And when those doors open, which will be the very end of September or the first of the next month, we will be there waiting with homegrown, beautifully fresh, small bursting flavors of Mexican.
Sally Kane and the Coronet are opening this Friday. Don't forget, get it on your calendar, get it on your date book. We'll be there. We're going to wish you lots and lots of luck and love. And we've got about a minute left, and one of the rock stars of this mayoral campaign, one of the bright rising stars of this campaign, is Sky Dorman. She is in the studios with us with her mom. I'm going to give her the last word today on why we hope you will go out and bring your ballot by 7 p.m. to any of the 7 locations, including the Tucson City Clerk Elections Office. Sky, last word for you. Hi, thanks for being here.
Yeah, my mom is just a pretty amazing person, and she has all the skills to take Tucson to the next level. So vote for Randy.
And my good friend Randy Dorman joins us in the studios.
Hi,
I am going to give the two of you. I am so happy to see the two of you smiling together.
What an exciting day.
Listen, we've got 4 hours left. What do you want to tell people in the 30 seconds we have?
We are going to move Tucson forward, turn Tucson into a thriving 21st century city that is rooted in our culture, our quirkiness, our heritage. We need to create those opportunities so that we can all live here successfully. I can't wait. Please vote for Randy Dorman before 7 p.m. tonight.
And when you get home today, after you vote, make sure you hug your kids and count your blessings. Up next, more with Randy and Sky on the John C. Scott Show. We'll see you tomorrow.